From Stillmeyer Games, and you are listening to the Master of One podcast. You can find me at StillmeyerGames.com or on Twitter or Facebook at Stillmeyer Games.
Welcome to another episode of the Master of One podcast, the podcast that can't stand the heat, so we're getting out of the kitchen. In this episode, we talk Octopath Traveler, 8th grade, and Andrew's 3D artist spotlight. I'm Andrew, your master of art and design.
I'm Patrick, your master of television and film.
And I'm Luke, your master of toys and games.
So turn up that SPF and get those shades rocking, because it's time to get this thing rolling.
There's sand in my shorts.
We like to kick every episode off by going around the table, which is where we talk about something new, fun, and noteworthy about our weeks. Luke.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, I'm here. It's been a week. It really
hasn't. Let me guess. It was fine.
No, it was good. It was good. Listen, Gen Con. I'm just going to say, Gen Con. The greatest 4 days in gaming. It's not here yet because we're recording this episode early.
Sir Spookerser Lurler.
Yeah. I'm so excited I can't talk. That's how it works, right? I can normally talk fine. It's just I'm so super excited.
You've been excited ever since we started this podcast.
For 4 years, I've been excited about Gen Con this year. So we just recorded last week's episode a couple days ago. And so between that time, it has been just get ready for Gen Con time. I finally saw Ant-Man and the Wasp, and I loved it. It was super awesome. I took the boys, and we saw the first showing of the day. There was like four other people in our theater because it's been out for a while. Man, I loved it. I loved it, loved it, loved it. The end got me. I didn't even see it coming.
The stinger, do you mean?
Yeah, I guess it's the stinger. Yeah. I was just like, whoa. Yeah, that makes sense. But whoa.
You think it's because, and we're not going to go into any about what it is, but do you think it's because by the time you get through the movie, you've kind of forgotten
about
that component?
100%.
So see, I kept waiting for that component to come in the movie. So I as soon as she hit three and then there was static, I leaned over to Patrick and just went.
Yeah.
But see, I didn't see it coming at all.
Yeah,
just right. Like which you. Is why you said, "Why'd you do that?"
Well, and I guess I didn't know what the where on the timeline it fit, the chronology of everything,
sure.
And so now I do.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a I was also surprised by it as well.
Yeah, it totally caught me off guard.
It just made me pumped for the next Infinity War, though.
Yep, absolutely. But
which Infinity War is now out as of record? It comes out tomorrow. I'm super excited.
Yeah.
On like Blu-ray or whatever.
Yeah.
Yep. But Ant-Man and the Wasp is a great movie. It fit really good. I was a little Ghost is fine as the, you know, the villain, quote unquote. It was a little bit, it felt a little shoehorned. Like some of her motivations like didn't fit at first. And I feel like that. There was like some character change and then reverting. I don't know. I didn't love it. I didn't love that whole side of it, but the movie overall is just great. I mean, Paul Rudd as a superhero is probably the best thing in America right now.
I want him to save my life every day.
Other than that, just getting ready for Gen Con. A lot of really awesome games coming out. There's the campaign expansion for Scythe. The Rise of Fenris, that will be coming out at Gen Con. Man, all kinds of stuff. There's a lot of expansion.
Have you played Scythe a lot, Luke?
I've played it, I don't know, probably half a dozen times, I would say.
Oh, is the new expansion is releasing at Gen Con?
Yeah, yep.
So are we able to already purchase it, or will we be able to purchase it online?
That's a great question.
Weekend?
I don't know for sure. I would imagine you would be able to purchase it after Gen Con online.
Do you own Scythe, or does one of your friends have
it? One of my friends has it.
Yep. Okay, all right.
But we're going to try and pick up Rise of Fenris and then play through it this weekend. So I will keep you posted.
We're still waiting for the first expansion, to give us the two extra factions.
And the airships, is that right?
Well, we have the airships.
Oh, okay.
We're still waiting for the one, I'm totally blanking on what it's called.
Purple and green, right?
Friends from afar or something like that, or people from afar, travelers from afar. It gives you the two, it extends it from being able to play with five people to seven.
Right.
And that is out of print right now. They're waiting for a new print production run of it to be able to get it, because you can't get it anywhere unless you want to spend $70 for it on like eBay or something like that.
Right. So that I haven't played the airship expansion yet, but the Travelers from Afar or whatever it is what we got when we first got the game. So
you can order Rise of Fenris on Stonemaier Games website right now.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, it's $55. That's how much the expansion costs.
Yep.
Does it require the seven? Does it require Travelers?
No, I don't think so. I think it just requires the core game.
Okay.
Yeah, and it says it calls it the final expansion to Scythe.
It's the final expansion. It adds a campaign mechanic, if I'm not mistaken. So it makes it like, it's not a legacy game, but it makes it like you play a couple of games in a series and play like
That's
a story.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That would be fun, because right now we're at a place where Chris wins every time, except I won once, but Chris wins every time. And so I'd love for it to just be like a continuation, so that even after five game plays, he wins, but he only wins once.
Sure. That's fair.
Instead of winning five times.
But yeah, obviously it's a really good game. There's going to be a whole bunch of games, but I'll talk more about that after we record after Gen Con.
Yeah.
So that's my week. Patrick, how about your week?
Hey, so picked up a couple of more pins. I don't know why I keep buying pins. I'm honestly frustrated at myself for picking them up.
Yeah, you barely wear shirts.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, so I got a gift card to Mondo's What Happened. Gift cards are nearly useless, because it's not like you have time to input the gift card while you're trying to purchase a drop. By the way, whoever gave me the gift card, I know who gave it to me. I don't think you're useless. It's a great gift. I really appreciate it. But I just wanted to buy something that was on the site already available. I didn't want the stress of trying to use a gift card. So I actually picked up a couple pins I'd been wanting for a while. One, I just feel like I needed the Alamo Draft House, the sign pin. It matches the sign that's, I assume, in front of several of them. But specifically, I know South Lamar has this sign. And ours is Marketplace. Our sign's not nearly that cool. But then also the other one is also Alamo. It's the film canister. Mm. And actually really big. I mean, this has got to be like inch and a quarter.
Yeah, it looks like big in your hands for a pin, and your hands are big.
I think I've decided I really don't like much above an inch, at least the primary pin. It's okay if an embellishment goes a little wider.
I think it's an inch and a half, dude, because I have it too, and I'm looking at it next to the Strong Stuff pin, which is an inch.
Yeah.
I think it's an inch and a half. It's pretty. If not, it's a little bit more than an inch and a quarter.
Then I might be offset then, and really what I like is inch and a quarter. This is just like one step above what I like, because it's larger than quarter size, right?
Right. Yeah. It's like a half dollar size.
It's like a half dollar. So it's a great pin, but it's a little too large. But I dig the sign pin a lot. So also, would you have thought that this is like the random junk in Patrick's life? Sorry. Would you have thought that there was an aftermarket hat hat market?
No. Yeah. I mean, yes, I would. If I thought about it, but I would never think about it.
Let me finish the sentence for Patagonia.
No.
And that's, I think, what's I understand that people want to buy like apparel from, you know, I'm sure that there's some Nike hat that's
that came out in 1974
that's like hugely coveted or whatever. I just have a Patagonia hat that I wear all the time, and it fits my head well. Their new ones aren't cut the same way. It's like Draplin's Saga, except also his hats don't fit me either. I have one. I just never wear it. It just sits on top of my toy case. But anyway, wanted a hat. Mine's like completely worn out. And so went on eBay, thought, oh, there's some retailer who it's set on the shelf for 3 years and never sold it, and I can probably buy it for $5 or something. Nope, was wrong. People want like anywhere from $60 to $90 for these hats, which is, that's just bizarre to me, because it's just a, it's a Patagonia hat. Like, it's, there's nothing, right. I can't imagine there's some grand history or whatever attached to this. So I wasn't going to pay that. I had a friend that happened to have the same hat, and I bought it off him for like $25. Totally worked out. So I got a new hat, got a couple pins. And beyond that, watching movies, I've been rounding up my list. I'm only 12 movies shy of hitting 100 for this year.
Wow.
And but I had a pretty big downtime, so it's really ramping up. So that list is just stacking up right now. But that's about it from me. So last thing, so something that is actually art related before I hand this to you, Andrew. I was introduced to what for me is a new company, and this is through Mondo's release. They just, well, they announced a week and a half ago, or it came out last week, but it's the Black Dragon Press collaboration prints. I was not familiar with Black Dragon Press before this release. Maybe that makes me a very unsmart person, but when it checked
out, I am a little surprised that you hadn't heard of them, because, like, Kevin Tong has done some stuff with them. And
I now know that. Matt Taylor has, Kevin Tong has, several people have, several people that I follow and we watch. Mark Aspinall is another one. Incredible prints. And not only that, they have a lot for sale now that are still in stock. So if you're looking to add something to your wall, there is just some absolute, you know, it's tough for me sometimes to understand, because I feel like with some of these prints, like I'm looking at an Ashley McKenzie print called He Protect. And with some of these prints, I feel like if they dropped on the Mondo site, they would sell out in 10 seconds. And it's hard for me to understand how like other people have stock of this stuff. But awesome, awesome collection. So, man, there's a great Jay Gordon one called The Murders in the Rue Morgue. But yeah, go check out blackdragonpress.co.uk, and also go check out their store. A lot of great prints that are still available. So, yeah. Andrew.
Yeah, okay. So not a whole lot has happened. Had some friends in town this past weekend, and so didn't really do much other than like kind of touristy, getting outside. We went on the river and we went to the Alamo and did that kind of stuff. And it was cool to experience Texas through the lens of a person who doesn't live here. Again, it's just nice, you know, to be reminded that, oh, this stuff that you see all the time and that you experience all the time is actually really cool stuff. You just have to sometimes be reminded that it's cool because you see it and you get used to it. But a couple of things did come that I want to share and talk about. One, I played this game. I got it a while ago. It's by IDW Games, so it's the comic book distributor IDW, or publisher IDW, but they now have a games division. It seems like everybody has games divisions now. But IDW Games is this, and this game is called Starfall. Can you see this?
Yeah.
Showing it to you?
Yeah.
So Starfall, it's a really unique game. It's a game of clever astronomy. So, yeah, okay. I'm trying to figure even out how to even describe it to you. I'm just going to show you some of the pieces of it. You essentially get this star, what they call a stargazer board. It's like you're looking up into the sky, and there's 9 slots kind of going around the edge of it. And you get these different constellations that you flip over, and they move. You have to move them around. The numbers in each of the bays equate to how much you have to spend in order to collect that astrological, you know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Constellation.
There you go. So the goal is to you on your turn, you can move. You can do one of 3 things. You can either move, or you can collect, or you can do one other thing. I can't remember right now. But if you don't want to pay 9, if this is the constellation that you want and you don't want to pay 9, then you move it down. Well, that's your only turn. So you have to hope, that's a risk, that you have to hope that somebody else doesn't want to pay 8 for it, right?
And so then they can move it down. They can buy it off your board?
Everyone has this, plays off the same
board. Oh, it's just that board.
Right.
I got it.
So at most, there's three constellations that live on it. So let's say that there's two constellations kind of right next to each other, like this.
Yeah.
Like this. If somebody wants to move this one, the furthest one back, they can jump the other one and move it into a better spot, and like a cheaper spot. The risk of that is you make it cheap enough that someone else might buy it out from underneath.
So you would jump it so that on your next turn you would buy it, but somebody could buy it before your turn happens again.
Exactly. Gotcha. Or they could move it too, and they could, you could still get it for cheaper.
Right.
But each of those constellations has different kinds of stars on it, and moons and planets and things. And at the end of the game, once all the constellations have been collected, whoever has the most, like there's different point values for different like collections of things. You know, if you get two of this, then it's a multiplier. But if you get an odd number of it, then you actually get negative points, those kinds of things.
Right.
So you have to pay attention. You're collecting points as you go, but the points modify and change as the game goes along. Anyway, it's a really unique game. It's pretty quick play. You know, if you're looking for something that's a little bit different that you can kind of pick up and go, or if you're into astronomy, it's pretty cool.
Right.
It's very simple, but it's very neat. So I got that game, played that, and liked it. And then I got this guy in the mail.
That's Scrooge McDuck.
So this is Scrooge McDuck, the 10-inch pop vinyl Scrooge McDuck, the Target exclusive. And I wanted this really badly, couldn't find it at any of my local Targets. And then our friend of the show, Zach Wilkinson, found it, called me and asked me if I wanted it, bought it for me, sent it to me. And I got it in the mail. It is so cool. Like, look at the gold. The gold, it has a metallic paint on it. So the gold shimmers. This thing is massive. I mean, if you compare it to a normal pop vinyl, you know, it's a pop vinyl is typically 3 to 4 inches tall. This guy is at least 10 inches tall. He's just very, very cool, very stylized. It's Scrooge McDuck happily jumping out of the his pile, his sea of gold coins in his old school swimming suit or whatever. And right. it's just very, very fun. So I'm happy to have him on my shelf now. He's a very, very cool addition. If you have the opportunity, the Target exclusive pops lately have been very cool.
And also under lock and key from appearances. Yeah,
they're hard to find. And some of like the one, so they finally did after Zach sent me this, he told me that it was shipping and everything. And then my Target did get three of them, but they had the special lock on them. So you had to get them unlocked and everything. So anyway, I think that's it for me.
So do you not want to talk briefly about Equalizer 2 or MoviePass dying?
No.
Okay.
I mean, no. If you're a fan, I mean, if you have MoviePass, you know what happened. If you should just go see Equalizer 2 if you're into good movies that have wholesome values to them, but also include killing people with glass jars.
And I think you shouldn't go see Equalizer, but also Google MoviePass. No, that happened on
you
the same day.
You didn't like Equalizer 2?
No, I didn't like it.
Oh my gosh, you're the worst. Then we're definitely going to talk about it. Let's move on. Let's go to the master categories. I don't have the emotional bandwidth right now to argue movies with you. Is that a fair assumption? Is that good? MoviePass did take a dump. Go Google it. It's a garbage fire.
It can't wait.
I mean, it's a hot mess. Up next, let's talk about some master categories. Master categories each week when we talk about the tokens we drew the week before. And, we have our own categories once again. And we feel good about that. Right, guys?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Patrick, why don't you kick things off and tell us a little bit about your blast from the past?
Also, it just kind of sounded like people shouting like they would. Like when I play Call of Duty, that's exactly what I sound like. That's the other thing that drove me crazy. Okay. We talked about Equalizer, but not when anybody could hear other than that part. The better movie that I saw.
If it's any consolation, I actually didn't even know that that's what you were talking about until you just clarified.
I thought you were talking about when we said, yeah.
It's definitely not from this film, which would be eighth grade. So The other movie I got a chance to see, the new film's Eighth Grade.
See, that's the people I play with when I play Call of Duty, is just a bunch of eighth graders who are calling me names and cussing.
Yep.
Yeah, actually, so the subject matter of this film could have written Equalizer 2. That's my takeaway. Basically, so this film's been getting a lot of praise. This is from Bo Burnham, and it's following a 13-year-old girl. She's in that, you know, it's kind of on that bubble of transitioning from last year of middle school to first year of high school. Again, kind of feeling that transition into now you're a young adult. But also the uncertainty and just weirdness that you feel and go through, the just uncomfortable, awkward, all those things at that time period. Very much so, I would compare it very closely to Lady Bird. And not just the subject matter. I mean, Lady Bird, again, someone that's on the bubble moving from senior year of high school into college now, experiencing that transition, learning more about who they are and the separation of who they are from the way that they feel they're perceived. And so very, very similar in that way, but also very similar in the kind of slice of a time period. And how well they make you, both these films make you feel the emotions, refill the emotions you felt at that time. I think the twist, and where I'll say that it deviates, is that unless you're currently in eighth grade or have been in eighth grade in the last 2 years, you really do not understand what it's like to be in eighth grade. Snapchat or Twitter or whatever the heck people use, because I have no idea. Just having your phone on you was not something that I experienced, was not something my friends and I had when we were that age. And in fact, the first phone I had wasn't until I was a junior in high school, and I think it was like a push-to-talk Nextel. It was not this. And so I think that's the biggest difference, is that you are watching something and you're remembering the feelings, and they do a good job of presenting the same challenges, but the medium through which those challenges are dealt with is totally foreign to me. And I would say it's probably foreign to a lot of people that are watching, again, unless you have kids or unless you're just a really young listener, which made the film interesting, however terrifying. I mean, I think when I walked out of the film, Mackenzie was with me, my wife, and the first thing she said was, "I'm so glad we don't have a kid that's in eighth grade." And also, like, it makes me scared to have to raise a kid through that.
Sure. You're
through
glad that your kid is only in second grade.
Yes. she doesn't know about that one. Now, the main actress is Elsie Fisher. She has an incredible job as Kayla. I think her father, who's played by Josh Hamilton, I really loved his earnestness that he brought to his role. And again, just the slice of life, I think. Was this directed by Bo Burnham too? Yes, directed by Bo Burnham. I think he did a great job with the direction of it. And it does have some incredibly funny moments. Genuinely just like laugh out loud moments, and at a really good pacing. So the comedy definitely comes through as well. One thing that's interesting, and this is something I'm not sure that everybody that watches this film is going to get, and it's because there was a pre-roll on our film. There was like a, I want to say, 10-minute segment that Bo Burnham was leading that I don't think is going to play before every film. I think it just had to do with the fact that we saw it at Alamo, and it was a pre-roll made for Alamo. But one of the things he explains is that a lot of the feelings that Elsie is dealing with, or that Kayla is dealing with in the film, are feelings that he is actually currently dealing with. In the film, she mentions the fact that she always feels nervous. She always feels like she's waiting to get on a roller coaster, but she never gets to actually enjoy the ride. And that's something he literally says that is an emotion that he feels. This is something that, being a part of, you know, feeling like you need to project yourself out to some invisible audience, and in receiving feedback from them, and it just creates the same sort of emotion and tension. I think when you watch this film, try to imagine the moments where you're not actually hearing Kayla, but you're really hearing the creator, Bo Burnham. You're really hearing him talk, and he's just kind of using her as the way to get out the emotions that he's feeling. And I think that adds another layer to this film, and for me, made the film more interesting and more exciting. You know, I love in that pre-roll, the thing that he says at the end, and I think this was actually cut from another stand-up special, so you might still be familiar with it, but if you can live your life without an audience, then do it. And I think that's a really great point. And I think that it's something to really keep in mind when watching this film, because again, so much of the film is about removing your value, your self-worth from the opinions of an audience and the need to just perform for an audience, even an audience, especially an invisible audience. So anyway, enjoyable film. I definitely recommend seeing it. It's going to remind you of old memories, but you're also going to be introduced to new terrors. That's my,
what number do you give it?
That's my take on it. For what it is, I think it's got to be I would probably put a 9 on it. The only thing that, and I don't know if I think it's good or bad, but the only thing is, because you always hear Kayla's perspective, and Kayla is a 13-year-old, there isn't ever someone that... there isn't a voice in the movie, and her father doesn't serve as this. There's never a voice that fully makes sense of what she's dealing with. There's never a voice that says, like, that in a roundabout way tells you what the moral is, or tells you the... you know, you never get a piece of profound advice from the film or from any of the people in the film. She's a 13-year-old, so she talks and acts like a 13-year-old. And her father is kind of along for the ride, and he's not really applying any, like, bringing any wisdom. Nobody ever stumbles into any wisdom. And so that's the only thing that I think is keeping me from giving it a 10, is that... It's easy to feel like with these films that they don't actually resolve anywhere and they don't go anywhere. It's one of the same things I had an issue with Lady Bird. I love Lady Bird. Lady Bird's an incredible movie, and I'm sure I gave it a 9 as well. But it's hard to, it kind of feels a bit purposeless maybe. If there isn't that, like, higher guiding voice.
Sure.
So that's the thing that I think that keeps me from giving a 10, but I still think it's a fantastic movie, and I think you should definitely see it.
Okay. Who are you tossing it to?
Andrew.
Okay. So I had art and design, and this week I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm calling the segment 3D Artist Spotlight. I'm going to give you three artists that I want to highlight and just talk about briefly, each of them briefly for just a moment, that I think you may know, but if you don't, you should know. And they're not, like, necessarily the main attraction that a lot of people would know. This isn't going to be your Tom Whalens or your Andrew Kolbs or your, Kevin Tongs, the people that we talk about on a regular basis. But these are artists that I love, and all of their names start with the letter
D.
That's exactly right, Luke. You figured it out. So we'll start with Dave Quiggle. Dave Quiggle is an artist who he's a tattoo artist as well as a pretty sought-after stylistic artist for various... properties and licenses across the spectrum.
Yeah.
He works with several different galleries, kind of all around the world. His work is very kind of eclectic and is definitely grounded in traditional tattoo art style, like Americana tattoo art style.
Yeah.
So, we've talked about him multiple times. I have a few pieces from him. Luke has at least a piece or two from him.
Yeah.
Patrick, do you have any Dave Quiggle stuff?
I don't think so.
I have a Dave Quiggle tattoo.
Do you really?
Yep.
Which one is Dave Quiggle?
My calf, the shield, and the Jesus.
That's a Quiggle?
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome. So Dave Quiggle, Quiggle. He's got lots of cool stuff in his shop right now. One of my favorite things that he has in the shop is called, he's done this series in the last couple of months where it's like cult classic or pop culture characters that are done in traditional tattoo style, mm-hmm. and are all and also have traditional Americana tattoos all over their body that helps illustrate their character, if that makes any sense. Like, it's like popular Easter eggs and things like that.
That was part of his 1988 show, a Gallery 1988 show.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's expanded on that. And so the one that like I'm in love, he had a Dwight Schrute. It's not on there right now. He had a Dwight Schrute one. He has currently on his shop, he has Jon Snow. He's got David Bowie from The Labyrinth. Mm-hmm. He's got Eleven from Stranger Things. He's got Danny DeVito from It's Always Sunny. And my favorite one is Jessica Fletcher. Angela.
Yeah.
What's her name? Angela. What's her last name?
Lansbury.
There we go. Jessica Fletcher from Murder, She Wrote. It's so good. Like, it's just... If you are not familiar with like classic American tattoo style, it's very simplistic but very stylized and lots of gradiential shadow effects.
Yeah.
But simple shapes and things like that. It's so good. I'm going to order this piece. I have to. I mean, I used to watch Murder, She Wrote every single week with my dad. And I loved it. And you'd think that people would just stop inviting Jessica Fletcher places because every time she shows up somewhere, someone dies. And then she writes about it in a book.
Should I watch that?
What?
I have never seen it.
You've never watched Murder, She Wrote? No. I would. I'd go back and watch it.
Yeah. You should.
Is it funny?
It's so good. No.
It's not a comedy. No.
I didn't think it's a comedy.
It's a murder mystery show.
This is the piece I have on my calf.
Oh, okay. That's cool. Where's that book from?
I don't know. I got it a long time ago. So I first got to know Dave Quiggle from merch. So like band shirts. He did a whole bunch of merch for all kinds of like Christian hardcore bands in the 90s and early 2000s. So I knew him from that. And then he did a whole bunch of art for like tattoo style, like you said, that's his style. And then he's done Disney stuff, but he's also a tattooer. So
he actively tattoos people. Yeah, his Disney stuff is just shut your mouth awesome.
Yeah.
Like he displays at Wonderground as well as various other places. Being able to work with Disney properties. I have his Adventure Time piece that he did with Mondo last year. It's so cool. So anyway, Dave Quiggle, if he's not on your list, if you're not following him on Instagram, start. Because he is an excellent artist, super talented, and he's a little bit shy because we've requested him to be on the show before, and he said he doesn't feel necessarily fully comfortable with it.
Well,
he
has said
he would
now.
Think about it. Well, he's not currently listening, so when he comes on...
Hey, Dave, if you're listening, I want you to come on.
I absolutely want him to come on, anyway,
I'm sure you would be fine.
He's a super nice guy. Okay, so that's the first D. The second D is Dan, Mr. Dan Hip. Dan Hip is one of my favorite stylized caricature artists. Mm. He does work in a way that I don't even understand. So the way that he depicts, everything he does is cartoony, so I should start off with that. So if you're looking for something with super realism, Dan Hip is not the guy to go to. Dan Hip's style is very comic, it very much lends itself in the world of comic books. He does work with comic books. The way that he approaches shading and colors, he uses lots of jagged lines, but thick jagged lines.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to describe. You kind of have to just go look at it and see. He uses lots of very subtle halftone-y textures mixed with real life photography. He's most known right now for doing almost all of the background work for Teen Titans Go.
Yeah.
I mean, his style, if you know Teen Titans Go, that is him. He does all of the background work for it as well as all the comic book work for it, like all the comic book covers. He does all the covers for the Teen Titans Go comic. He's insanely good, insanely talented, and his work is decently affordable. If you're a fan of his style, go check it out. He does this stuff where he pairs different movies together and themes them into individual pieces. So like one of the pieces that he posted is, it's called My Dearest Friend, and it's got Ron and Hermione. It's got Cap and Bucky. It's got Sunshine of the Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I don't know their characters, but it's got those characters laying on the ice. It's got the characters from Up, the old man and the woman, and it's got Han and Leia and Jack and Sally. So all these pieces put together, he plays with that quite a bit. So you'll see lots of blends of pop culture stuff in the same piece. And it's very, very cool and very fun. So anyway, Dan Hip, his stuff is fantastic. And, you know, you don't have to look far to see his stuff in current popular culture because, I mean, Teen Titans Go to the Movies just came out.
Yeah.
So it's like, pretty, you know, he's on top of it right now. So Dan Hip. And then the final DM I'm going to talk about is Dan Grissom. Dan Grissom is a guy that I talked about probably a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, briefly. He is an Austin-based artist, and he does illustration work, paint work, like traditional paint work and design work. Mm-hmm. But he does a lot more... it's like stylized realism. So he uses, like, if he's going to draw a tree, right? If a tree is going to be in his print or be the focal point of his art piece, he'll do the tree with all the bark, but instead of it being super realistic, every piece of the bark will be outlined. So mm-hmm. It'd be like a hard line outlines. So it gives this very like hyper real look to it. And he also does lots of work with like split fountains and screen printing stuff. I think he does his own screen printing and he does letterpress stuff quite a bit. But Dan Grissom, he goes under the moniker Biscuit Press. So you should check him out. Anyway, 3Ds, that's all you need to know. If you aren't looking up new artists regularly, then you're getting stale. There are so many incredibly talented people out there. This just scratches the surface. But go check out Dan Grissom, Dan Hip, and Dave Quiggle. And I promise your Instagram feed will thank you for it. So that's it for me. Luke, why don't you take us home?
Okie doke, will do. So toys and games. This week, I am talking about a video game. And normally, lately, I've been playing on PC, everything. And if it's not PC, it's PS4. And if it's not that, I'm not playing it. But there was a game announced for the Switch that I have had my eye on. It finally came out this month, and I completely love it. So it's a game called Octopath Traveler. And it is made by Square Enix, the same company that does Final Fantasy, Dragon Quest, Front Mission, Kingdom Hearts. I mean, you name it. They kind of own the RPG space. This game is the first thing that drew me to it. It's very similar to my very favorite game, Final Fantasy Tactics, which first came out on the PlayStation, then was released for PSP, and then came out on DS. But this is the same idea, just slightly same general concept, but slightly different. So it is the style of an RPG, a classic like Japanese style RPG, where your characters have a story to follow, and you go through and you level up your characters. This one, in the name Octopath, you have 8 different characters and 8 different paths that they can go on that you can choose to follow. And how it works is you pick one of those characters to start the game with, and then that character travels throughout the land and meets these other characters, and then they join your party. You help them do things they're trying to do. And then you have a group of 8 people that you can change in and out depending on what kind of skills you need. So you have like a... you're a regular like fighter knight kind of person. You have a hunter, a bard kind of character. You have a wizard. You have a chemist and like a priest kind of cleric person. All the classic kind of like RPG kind of characters. And you can change them out. And then the thing that's similar to Final Fantasy Tactics is you can have different jobs. So as you progress in the game, your chemist person could then learn the characteristics of a thief. And then it could be like a hybrid class, or you could take different things from different classes and kind of make your own party of characters. If you need, if you like some of the features of the knight, but you only, you really like want somebody that does magic too, you can have them both together. And then you, your knight can also cast spells, and it's really fun because you, it makes it feel like it's your party. You have control. It's your group of characters that you're controlling. And so I love that. And this game is completely beautiful. It's they call it HD 2D or 2D HD, depending on who you're talking to. It's the style of the classic 2D animation, but they add like texture effects and different kind of particle effects over top of it. So it feels like there's more depth in the visuals. Really,
it looks like the Lens Baby tilt shift.
Yeah, there's a lot of like depth of field added into it, for sure. It's, man,
and
it's so
good.
It's not
a profile shot and it's not an overhead shot, but it's like split between those.
Right.
Right. It's like a three quarter angle.
Yeah.
But from a top down.
Yeah.
It's kind of an interesting.
Yeah. It's,
it looks awesome.
It's so good. I love it. There's so much to it. I've played probably, I would say about 20 hours of it so far, and I've just gotten to the point where I can like add new jobs to other characters. I've gotten all eight characters, so I have my choice of party. You can like change them at the inn, like in every town you can go to the inn and change your party up. And it has the same mechanics of like you can steal from people and you can buy stuff at the inn and you can barter, but then every character also has special skills. So like the hunter can capture beasts that you find in the wild and then summon them to fight for you in other battles. Or the there's a scholar character that can like discern things about people and find out other information that you might not learn in game from talking to them. Just cool stuff like that. So there's a lot of depth in a seemingly simple looking game. It's got great reviews, and if you like RPGs at all, you'll love it. And if you don't, it might be a good one to jump into because it's pretty simple as far as you wander around and kind of follow the quest that you're given. It's a pretty open world, so you can wander into places that are dangerous for your level, but it's not like there's auto saves that happen all the time. So if you do wander in and get killed, you just start at that last save and go the other way. So it's pretty simple that way. It's not like you could actually ruin your game. But man, it's super good. So get it. You can get it anywhere.
Anywhere.
Anywhere. Your local tackle shop has it.
Gas station.
Yep. Have it.
Do you have a tackle shop near your house?
I don't know.
It's just weird that you would pick tackle shop.
I was trying to think of like the most un-video game sort of place, and that was the first thing my mind went to.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
It's more than fair, I would say. All right. Well, I think that's it then. If that's it for your category, it for all the categories. We've managed to make it through. And Patrick, just real quick before we head out of this episode, what number did you give Equalizer 2? You didn't say.
You go first.
I would give Equalizer 2 probably a 7.5.
Okay. 5. 5.5. I'll say 5.5.
Were you saying that based on my number? Like, were you waiting? Like, if I had said 8, would you have said 6? Are you trying to gauge it based off of what I said?
You're crowding my number. No, I mean, it's a tough thing. It's just, here's what makes rating it difficult. Denzel Washington is always captivating. Like, he's just him explaining the moral positioning or posturing is fascinating to watch. And so that on those moments, I'm just so sucked into the film because he is just, whatever the word is. And, but man, I just can't help how I think this, the weather event is just a great example of how just kind of crazy the film got.
Okay, that's so fine. Five and a half.
Yeah, 5.5.
Okay, that's fair. All right. Well, then that's going to be it for this episode. We are on the internet at mofonepodcast.com, where you can find show notes and links to all the stuff that we just talked about in this episode. Go buy some things. Go check out some artists and the people you buy stuff from. Let them know you heard about it from here. And for the artists, do the same thing. And it just helps share the word and the wealth and the information.
I guess that's, I'm shocked you gave it a 7.5.
Oh, okay.
I thought you were going to give it higher.
And you thought I was going to give it higher?
Yeah, I thought you were going to say 8.
Oh. Well, you were half off.
Would you like me to be half off?
Speaking of half off, hit up shop.mf1podcast.com where you can wish things were half off. And
Support the show. Ever will be.
Support the show on there. You can support the show on Patreon. You can rate, review, subscribe, like, do all of those things. It's helpful. It's good. It's easy. If you're in Portland, here's the important thing. We're going to be there, too, in about 1 week. So if you're listening to this on release day, we will be there next week, and we will be hanging out and doing some awesome stuff. Stay tuned to our social media, which you'll probably see it on Instagram and Facebook. We will share when our meetup is going to be, but we will be there from the 15th through the 19th. Am I correct in saying that?
Or 15th? Yes.
Through the 15th to the 18th. Would you 18th. Say it's the the most important thing?
It's the most important thing that we will be doing.
The most we've done in Portland. Yes.
Yeah, the most important thing that we've done.
Not a bad pun of being important.
We are heading to Portland for Pop-Up Crop, courtesy of our good friends over at Tranter Gray. Those guys are awesome. They put together some amazing work, the multi-Emmy award-winning Tranter Gray production team, and they're sending us out there to do hot seat interviews at Pop-Up Crop. So we will be out there doing that. If you are not if you're not already going to Pop-Up Crop, I think there's a handful of spots left. You can still register. It's a great day. It's an excellent value for the kind of caliber of people that you're going to hear, see, and rub shoulders with. But even if you can't make it to Pop-Up Crop, you can still come to our meetup. So just keep your eyes peeled for the details on that. But other than that, I think we're going to get out of this episode. What do you guys think?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, well, here we go. I'm Andrew.
I'm Patrick.
And I'm Luke.
Peace out.
Bye.
Hold on to your butts.